10, it's the business lunch, the Wintrust business lunch on WGN Radio. Hi, it's John Williams. Lucky me, huh? Take Monday through Thursday off, come back work Friday, take a well-deserved weekend. I'll then be back in the saddle with you again on Monday as well. We are here weekdays from noon to 1 on the Wintrust business lunch. Thank you, Elise Glink, for filling in for me while I was gone. Is there ever a day when the market news or the economic news isn't mixed? The stock market does well. The jobs numbers are not good. I think we have kind of a mixed bag today as well. Let's talk to Mike Miller. Mike has joined us before, Associate Professor of Economics at DePaul University. Hi, Mike. Welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, John. Nice to talk to you again.
Let's start with a little bit of the good news. That is that some of the retail sales numbers have been good. People are shopping a little bit, right?
Yeah, they are. And we saw, well, of course, everything that's been happening since COVID have record-breaking swings. And this was no different. We had a record-breaking decline the month, 2 months before. And in May, however, it was up 17%. And that's a great rebound.
I wonder,
and people are going back, yes.
What horse should I bet on? Is it the stock market that should make me feel good or bad? Is it the unemployment rate that should make me feel good or bad? Is it retail sales? What's a number that you watch?
Well, I watch employment. It's called payroll employment. And the thing is, things are still really bad. I mean, if you look at the total number, we're still down 20 million jobs since this all started. But I think the worst is behind us, and we've hit bottom, and we're beginning to make small increases. So even like when you get these first-time claims for unemployment, those numbers, 1.5 million, are historically record-breaking numbers, but they're declining. And we are finding that people are finding jobs, and that's the good news. So I think when people are working, it's better for their family, it's better for their pocketbook, it's better for the economy.
Do we know what kind of jobs they're finding? Are they getting the old jobs back? Are they getting the same pay? What's happening? Do you know?
Most of what I know is that the dramatic effect has been on low-income workers, and that's people work in hospitality and so forth, and they are the ones that are beginning to get their jobs back. There weren't a lot of jobs that were lost in people like me at universities. We just went online. We just changed the way we do our business. But so many low-income households were dramatically affected, and they're getting back, and so that's a good sign.
What do you say about the real estate market? That's another interesting set of data points to follow, isn't it?
It is, because there's commercial real estate, of course, and then with strip malls with businesses closed and so forth, that's going to hurt the ability of these businesses to pay their rent. But when you look at housing, with interest rates for mortgages at historic lows, just 3.5% or something like that on people with good credit, the number of applications for mortgages is just skyrocketing. And we're finding that the number of permits for new housing units has risen, which is a good thing. Now, housing is not back completely, and we do find that in the housing market, when people go in to try to borrow against their house, home equity loan, they're not. It's been very, very difficult. But when people do a cash-out refi, it's not quite as bad.
One last question for you, Mike Miller, and that is,
sure.
If unemployment is the number that is most important, and why wouldn't it be, what do you think? Is it going to be double digits, and for how long?
Forecasting in economics in times of uncertainty is a crapshoot. It's really, really hard to do. I think it will remain above 10%, probably for the next 2 months, but I'm hoping that, historically, it's been financial recessions that have been the real problem that last the longest. When it's caused by something so unique as what we had with COVID and so forth, a lot of economists are hoping for a quicker rebound, and I'm hoping that will be the case when it comes to labor. So by this summer, I'm hoping for numbers in the 9% range. Later this summer.
Yeah, no kidding. Which, here again, that's odd packaged as good news, but that's just the way it's been lately. Michael Miller, it's always nice to talk to you. We'll call you again, sir.
Same here, John. You're welcome.
Michael Miller, Associate Professor of Economics, DePaul University. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's our producer. I'm John Williams. Jack Levin's on a phone line, President and CEO of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
I'm glad you said it and said it that way. We appreciate their sponsorship. The Chicagoland
Absolutely.
Chamber of Commerce has an economic recovery task force. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we have an economic recovery task force. It's 25 members of the chamber chaired by Bruce Lubin, who's our chairman of the chamber and with CIBC, and Joe Dominguez, CEO of ComEd, and Robin Brown with Ingredion. And really, we put out a report, and the goal of the report is to accelerate Chicagoland's economic recovery and get people back to work. I mean, that's really what we need to do. I think we also want to do it with prioritizing safety, trust, and equity. And so we have a report. It's at chicagolandchamber.org. You can see it. But it has a number of guiding principles, must-haves, and action items that really we need to accomplish to get people back to work and get our economy running again.
Who's that intended for? Is this sort of a template for business owners, businesses?
It's a template for businesses, business community ready to do our part, and it's also for government. I mean, one of the issues that came up was trust, and that's a really important issue. Employees need to trust that they can go back to work, back to their workplace. They need to trust that they can get on transit and get to their workplace. So with the idea of trust in mind, you know, we have a number of items that you know, we need to work with government to change and work on, and with the business community to work on. And it's really like transportation is a key issue. How are people going to get to work? How are they going to trust being back on transit? So we're working with the transit agencies to get a survey out there to all employers. You know, what are they talking to their employees about? What do their employees do? How are they going to stagger shifts, or how are they going to bring people back to work? And how can the transit agencies, the CTA, the Metra, and PACE, work with that to make sure we have safe transit to get to and from work? And then the other is clear guidance. We did a survey not too long ago of our chamber members, and 66%, we need clear guidance. So if somebody tests positive, what do you do? One of our task force members is a small business. They had a person test positive, and they had to shut down for 2 weeks because testing wasn't available or they couldn't get testing. You know, if we're going to bring companies back to work, they need to know where can we get testing and where can we immediately respond and what's the protocols to respond if something happens. And so the idea is to give guidelines and best practices to businesses so they can see what they need to do, but also work with government. You know, the public health officials have issued a lot of guidelines, but we get more data every day. We get more information. We get more best practices. And so we need to be flexible on the phases and the openings and how we phase our businesses back up and running.
Jack Levin's the president and CEO of the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Do you have any advice about that? Is it okay to come back to downtown or to the suburban business complexes right now?
I think it is safe, and every company is going to be a little bit different. They're working from home, and then there's, of course, some businesses that just can't work from home, and there's essential businesses. But I think we can. I think we can do it safely. I think this report sets out some must-haves and action items and guidelines for that. I think data is showing there's four things: face coverings, physical distance, washing hands, and an important workplace culture. You know, what are the responsibilities of the employer, the employee, and government? And so I think it is safe to do that. And another part of our report, John, is something we're calling the Chicago Pledge. And I think this is really important. You know, we both have the COVID-19 pandemic. We've also had kind of the protests and unrest and changes. And so we need to reinvent our city for the modern age. The Chicago Pledge is part of getting people back to work, dealing with the pandemic, but also committing ourselves to the work of building a more inclusive and resilient business community where all residents have equal access to opportunity. The pledge is about buying locally. Let's buy from our small businesses and our minority women and disadvantaged businesses. They're the backbone of our economy, backbone of our supply chain. We should hire locally, create diverse talent pipelines, and do that locally. Invest locally in our communities, because if the neighborhoods aren't doing well, the downtown doesn't do well. If the downtown's not doing well, neighborhoods aren't doing well. And then finally, listen and learn and act. You know, let's have the conversations we need to have to talk about some of the structural inequities and how we can move forward and create equal opportunity in healthcare, education, transportation, and in our economy. So we're asking people to take the Chicago Pledge, and they can do that at our website, chicagolandchamber.org. But this is about making our economy with more equity and more resiliency, and that's part of our report too, the Chicago Pledge.
It's funny because I think of all the things you're saying and how important and good it would be to communicate that to the staff. But if you just hit send on an email, I get frustrated when I get really important stuff like that because I don't think that's very impactful. It's efficient, but does it really communicate the urgency or the gravity of something when it's just in an email? Say, all right, let's put everybody in the conference room. Well, we don't want to all go in the conference room now because we're trying to be safe. So how do you sort of communicate this trust and this safety when the traditional means to me just don't measure up right now?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, John. And I think it's really about communication. And there needs to be communication with the employer and the employee. What are the responsibilities? What are the expectations? Employees are going to come back to work, but they want to know their workplace is safe. They want to know their transit is safe. And so we need to work on that and the communication of that. And that's really one of the keys to doing it. You know, I see we have a lot in the report at the end of it. We have a lot of best practices. Some of our companies, Target, Chase Bank have been voted, putting out best practices and Forbes magazine recognized them. But we got to make it simple and digestible. I mean, that's to your point. If I get an email and it's an 80-page report, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to read it. But so we got to break it down into a simple things that we need to do and guideposts and guidelines that we have. And then we need to take those action items that are going to build that safety and trust and equity to rebuild our economy for the modern age. And that's what this report is. We're ready to do our part as a business community. There's things that we need to advocate for from government. And I think the general feeling of the task force is we need to accelerate the reopening of our economy. We need to do it safely and responsibly. But as we get more data and best practices, we should move faster. For example, restaurants. We need to let them open indoor. We need to start working with our hotels that are going to have meetings and business meetings. You know, we have a lot of data. We have a lot of best practices. Let's be flexible and move forward. And
Jack, so are you saying that right now? Are you saying indoor restaurants right now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying full capacity, but they need to start doing it gradually. So if you let 25% and then 50%, they can learn from best practices and data how to start doing that, do it gradually, and see how things work. And I think we need to do that. Same thing with business meetings. You know, we're going to move into phase four for the state, which allows larger gatherings. But, you know, there's places around the world that are having meetings and they've put in best practices and like face coverings, physical distancing, washing hands. There are some basics that we can do that if we're doing them and we're responsible about doing them, we can open faster. So we need to be flexible. We need to use the data to be flexible so we can accelerate the opening of our economy and really get people back to work. I mean, that's really what we need to do. And that's going to help all areas. I mean, one area we cover in here is mental health and wellness. And, you know, we need to get people back to work. We need to do it safely and responsibly. But we need to do that, and we need to use the data and the best practices that are out there to make that happen.
Find out more at ChicagolandChamber.org. You can see the pledge and some of the recommendations, ChicagolandChamber.org. Jack Lavins, the president over there. Jack, thanks for your time this afternoon. Well done.
John, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
12:34 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Still to come, we visit with the vice president at Airstream from Elkhart, Indiana. They were worried that when the COVID-19 pandemic hit, sales would just go completely away. People were worried about their money. The economy was tanking. Who's got money for an expensive recreational vehicle? Turns out a lot of people do. Business is good at Airstream. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a couple of minutes. But, you know, just dovetailing with what Jack Lavin was talking about, here's a blueprint, if you will, for how businesses in the Chicagoland area can and should come back. Here are some things to consider. Let's also bring veteran real estate developer Bob Winslow into the conversation, chairman and CEO of Parkside Realty, because he's got at least one business in mind, one place in mind, that seems to be well suited for going back to work during a pandemic, if you can imagine that. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing real well. We're talking about, is it Fulton East? Is that the name of the building?
Yes, Fulton East, which is located at 215 North Peoria in the Fulton Market area.
Okay. Is that a new building or an old building?
It's a building under construction, which will be ready for occupancy in August of this year.
And it is described as one of the first buildings that is post-COVID, ready to move in to make people, as our previous guest was saying, feel safe and secure.
Yes. So we're developing a small boutique office building in the Fulton Market area. It's a 12-story building. And each floor is 10,600 square feet. And we specifically decided to build a building of that type for the Fulton Market area because we felt that the market was ready for a high-end boutique building, which would allow a tenant to occupy its own floor. So a tenant did not have to share facilities on that floor with anybody else. Yeah. It's something called biophilic design, where you produce a smaller floor with a tremendous amount of window space, so there's a high ratio of light and air to the square footage of space. We put an outdoor balcony on every floor, again, part of the biophilic design area, which increases tenants' health, wellness, and happiness and productivity. But when the pandemic came, we realized that we had an opportunity because we were not ready to finalize the building yet. We thought we could get a small delay in the finish of our building and find everything that is current on the market to install in this building to make it post-COVID ready. So we were able to find and will be the world's first new building to install an elevator system that is hands-free. And we are converting our elevator system now because it was already completed to a system where you will use your toe to call the elevators. There will be a series of buttons at the bottom of the elevator, rocker-type switches, that you just step on and select the floor you want to go to. And the same thing in the hallway, there'll be a button to select up or down with the elevator. So that's the first thing that we were able to find. We researched what hospitals do to keep their space very, very safe and clean. And we found a system called AirFix. AirFix is a system that uses a cold thermal plasma system to purify the air. And it brings the air in your office suite into the machine, and it eliminates bacteria, viruses, and pathogens and mold. But what's special about this machine, there are other things that can do something like that. It's the only machine on the market that emits from the machine a gas form of a very low percentage hydrogen peroxide. And this gas form lands and is attracted to surfaces, vertical and horizontal, and it disinfects the surfaces. And the hospital system that has had these installed for about 18 months has shown on studies that it eliminates anywhere from 94% to 99% of pathogens, both on surfaces and in the air. And then we continued on We already had a totally touchless Sloan's totally touchless washroom situation in the building. In addition, we had already purchased their new form of china for the toilets, the sinks, the urinals, which has a special coating on it, which is, again, something that is pathogen killing. But what we did do is we found that there is a new product used in hospitals called Paint Shield by Sherwin-Williams. And it is a product. It is the only paint on the market that actually kills pathogens. So we repainted all our washrooms with that as well. And then you know how you use a key fob system in a building to turn an elevator on when it's off, or to enter the door when you're coming into building in off hours, or to get in secure spaces. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you touch your key fob to the contact point to do that. We have discovered a new key fob called Rosalier system, and we actually converted our key fob to this system, so you can hold that key fob an inch and a half away to be able to get into your secure spaces and get in your space. So no contact at that point as well. So those are the things that we did to convert the building that was already thinking down that line. As I said, the biophilic design is the design where you want to bring as much nature into a building as possible. And that's why each of our floors in the building has a 9-foot by 27-foot outdoor balcony. And in addition, on the roof of the building, we have an 8,000 square foot roof garden on the building that actually has meeting areas designed into the space. We have an amphitheater type seating area that can seat up to 80 people on a large screen on an opposing wall where you can give training sessions, client presentations, product presentations, and people could even use it for entertainment if they wished, or sporting events.
Bob Wislow is on a phone line, chairman and CEO of Parkside Realty, Inc. I have just a minute or so left here, Bob, but then somebody has to pay for this. Are you able to make the rents affordable for your tenants?
Well, we're very fortunate. This building is owned by three individuals: my long-term business partner, Camijo Mi, our long-term investor, and myself. We have six other properties we own together. We do these on a very long, old basis. We do not build buildings to sell them. Basically, these are generational hold buildings. So we are absorbing the costs of these things that we've added to the building. And it did cause us a month in delay for the occupancy, but we feel that that was well worth it. So our rental rates are right in market with everybody else's rental rates in Fulton Market, and we're just absorbing those costs ourselves.
Well, if I wanted to get in there, is there any space left?
Yes, we do. We have about 80,000 square feet left. Love to have you, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'll take it. Actually, the radio station I work at is new, and it used to be the green was the cutting area of technology. Now it sounds like bio is the new green space, and what a smart building. This is fascinating. I'd love to take a physical tour and use the elevator, Bob. Let's visit again, and maybe I'll mosey on over there sometime.
Great. We would love to do that. We're actually starting the installation of the elevator buttons this week, and it'll be done in a couple weeks. We'd love to have you over.
Good luck, Bob. Thanks for your time today.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Stay well.
Bob Wislow is chairman and CEO at Parkside Realty, and that's the Fulton East building in the Fulton District. It's 12:42. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Hold your horses. That tentative deal to return to racing at Arlington International Racecourse isn't a done deal yet. The racing board will continue its meeting later today. It adjourned yesterday. The Horsemen's Group has concerns about what the second year of the deal might hold. Most of the restaurant news has been about closings, but burger chain Smash Mouth is announcing a big expansion in Chicago. It will start with the spot on Michigan Avenue, but expects to grow to at least six outlets in the city soon. And there was talk AMC movie theaters might not survive the pandemic. Now they're announcing plans to reopen 450 of their more than 600 theaters on July 15th, with the rest opening by July 24th. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. Orion Samuelson's watching other markets for you. Hey-o.
Hey, hello. And as we look at the agricultural markets today, a mixture of red and green, the July wheat contract is down a quarter of a cent a bushel, 483 and a quarter. The July corn contract is up a penny and a quarter cents, trading at 332 and a quarter. And the July soybean contract, doing the best of the grains, up 3 3/4 cents a bushel at $8.76 3/4 cents. The Illinois FFA held its annual state convention last week, but it was a virtual convention. But since I got my start in the broadcast business in the FFA public speaking contest, let me share with you the winners in the FFA state public speaking contest. First of all, the FFA Creed top two, Morgan Mauser of Tri-Valley FFA and Lydia Phelps of Marion FFA. The prepared speech, the top two, Olivia Shike of Unity Tolono FFA and Lauren Moore of Normal West FFA. And the extemporaneous speaking competition, the top two, Eric Schaefer of Taylorville FFA and Jayton Schaefer of Blue Ridge FFA. There were many other awardees also with the state convention, but I did want to pay attention to the public speaking and the FFA Creed winners. And then, John, this one is for you, because for decades I have felt we spend too much money on reports and studies, but here is the best one I've seen so far.
Okay.
This press release. Following the fast spread of COVID-19 across Europe and North America in March, many people began stockpiling commodities, including toilet paper. Some companies reported an increase of up to 700% in toilet paper sales, despite calls from the government to refrain from panic buying. And with the new study, researchers talked to 1,029 adults from 35 countries to get their answers on the toilet paper survey. The most robust predictor of toilet paper stockpiling was the perceived threat posed by the pandemic. People who felt more threatened, and they tended to stockpile more toilet paper. And around 20% of the effect was also based on the personality factor of emotionally. People who generally tend to worry a lot and feel anxious are most likely to feel threatened. And I guess maybe not surprisingly, but the biggest sector of the population surveyed, the adults, the older people, whatever you want to call them, did more stockpiling than the younger people.
And it was, you know, and I found some seniors I know not only stockpiling paper goods like that, food.
Yes.
And obviously, if you could get hand sanitizers, you were stockpiling those. I saw an article this morning, and I haven't clicked through it yet. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. The you know what the new toilet paper is, they said, the new thing that people are hoarding that you do not find in the as much as used to, coins.
Coins?
Change. I don't understand that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see a story that they were going to have to step up production of coins.
I don't know if that's because we are using less cash in commerce right now and there's less retail, but I don't know who's missing coins. A lot of us want to do away with the penny, for instance. So that'll be a conversation for next week, Mr. Samuelson.
Okay. Well, I know somebody will do a study and a survey that'll provide us with more answers. So that's your money on 720 WGN.
The Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Early morning, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast and Sarah Ginder's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV's Morning News. We visited with Dale Buss about a week ago from chiefexecutive.net. He writes for a number of publications, and in this one, he was talking about how Airstream is maybe doing surprisingly well. He began his article with, as the U.S. pandemic started in March, Bob Wheeler and his team projected a 70% April drop-off in sales. for their Airstream recreational vehicles. That was not an unreasonable expectation. And while sales did go down, they rebounded in May. I don't know what they've done in June, but turns out people still do have some money to spend, and people are less comfortable maybe going to a hotel. They'd like to pull along or drive along their accommodations. McKay Featherstone is on a phone line from, and I think this is based in Elkhart. Well, I know it is. I'm not sure where you are, though, right now. McKay, where are you? Are you in Elkhart as well?
Well, we're here in the Midwest, so we are actually located in Jackson Center, Ohio.
Right.
About 85% of all RVs are made in Elkhart, Indiana, but we're about a few hours away. And we've been in this area since the 1950s.
McKay Featherstone's the Vice President of Product Development and Engineering at Airstream. So is that a fair setup, though? I mean, this thing hits, you think, oh, no, now what? Business has been pretty good of late, is that right?
Oh, absolutely a fair setup. In fact, continues to exceed expectations. So just like you said, you know, as we looked at as the country has started to come out of this, our sales really began to accelerate. In fact, as we closed May, believe it or not, Airstream's been around 90 years. And as far back as our records go, we believe it's the best month we've ever had in the history of our company. So like a lot of people out there, there's simply things we've never encountered before. And right now in the RV industry, sales are at the level of something we've never seen before. So really exciting for us for May. Here in the month of June, that trend continues. We're on track right now for June, could be even another record for us in the history of the company. What's really exciting is not just the sales, but all these new people and new types of people that we're seeing coming into the dealerships, buying Airstreams. Lots of people who just weren't even considering RVing before, like you said.
I'll ask you about that in a minute. What are you selling, though? I mean, so is it pull-alongs? Is it drive-alongs? Is it both? What products are moving?
Yeah, so the short answer is everything. Of course, a lot of people are familiar with our iconic aluminum travel trailers. That's the beating heart of our business. We do sell a wide range. We sell motorhomes and travel trailers. We sell from small 16 feet up to 33 feet in that range. And it truly is every product, every category. We see a little bit stronger sales in the areas where people looking to go off the grid. There's this real sense of freedom and being in control of your kind of your travel habits, but really it's everything that we make right now is selling at historic levels.
Hmm. What's the price range?
So in our line of products, of course, we're talking MSRPs. We range from a base camp. It's a small adventure trailer that starts right about $37,900. Our travel trailer line goes up to, you know, very large, high-end luxury products. We have a 33-foot classic. It's beautiful. That retails right around $168,000. Our motorhomes, we build exclusively on the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter platform. So we get a Mercedes in. We put the Airstream touch on it, all of the systems. It's got kitchens and a bathroom and everything in it. And those range from around $150,000 to about $240,000.
What are the bells and whistles? Kind of wow me a little bit here with what's available or how they've changed since the 19-whenevers.
Well, it's funny that you use that word change. So for our company, there's a real spirit of the history going all the way back to our founder. You can really feel that sense of continuity. And one of his sayings was, let's make no changes, only improvements. And that's one reason that, you know, on the outside, an Airstream looks so similar to what it always has. But underneath that skin, lots of new improvements that we've made. So as you kind of go up through the line and you get into that, what can be a luxury type of product, we have heating systems that are totally silent. It's actually a Swedish hydronic heating system, if that impresses you. But for the customer, it means there's no fan. So it's totally uniform heat, completely silent. And our customers, you know, they love to go traveling four seasons of the year, so they really appreciate that. On the maybe more the techie side of things, we actually have a platform. It's an Airstream cloud platform that allows customers to monitor their baby, right? This is part of the family. Monitor it, to control it. They can check the air conditioning. If it's getting hot and their pets are inside the vehicle, they can actually remotely change the air conditioning setting. Also, which is, I think, important for the future, the ability for them to have connectivity. So this thing that we build, it's a little, literally is a house that you take with you. You're taking all of the comforts of home with you on the road. So just like a house, you need your resources. You need electricity, you need water. And most of our customers today, they think of Wi-Fi, of connectivity, as a resource, just like you would think of electricity or water. So we have a connectivity package. We have a data plan we created with AT&T so that while they're traveling, they can stay connected. And, you know, if this was a couple years ago, that it wasn't just about working. You know, it was staying connected to the grandkids, watching Netflix. But as we've seen this grow, there's more and more people that are actually using that also to work while they're traveling.
I'll cut you off if you go longer than 60 seconds now, but I'm curious who's buying these things. Is it younger people then?
Well, and of course, we know our current customers, and we're seeing brand new customers. And absolutely, this new wave of people coming in do tend to be younger. We're seeing a whole range of incomes. It's great to see. There's people that, you know, through these times, they have the money to be able to buy one quickly. But what a lot of people don't notice is they don't know that you can finance this. So the loans are closer to a house than they are to a car.
Wow.
And you can actually deduct the interest on this as a second home.
How
so you can get
that?
A tax break on that payment. So it's a wide range of incomes. It's definitely a younger customer, and it's a customer that's more likely to work.
Time's up. I am very enthusiastic about this.
Great.
McKay, I'm talking to myself when I say we have to cut this conversation short because I could go all day, and maybe we'll have you on again soon. But I'm really glad to hear that this American company is doing so well. So congratulations to everybody there in Ohio and Indiana.
Well, thank you. Yes, we feel blessed. It was great to have a chance to share a little bit about it. Thank you.
McKay Featherstone's vice president over there at Airstream.